It is now time for
the What You Talking About Willis Show.
What you talking about?
What you talking about? What you talking about, Willis?
With your host, Ryan Wacky Willis. Idiot. Right here on Call It Primetime Radio. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello. Hello.
Hello, wacky listener. My name is Ryan Wacky Willis, and this is the very famous and popular What You Talking About Willis Show on College Primetime Radio. Y'all, thank you so much for joining me for yet another week as I talk the wackiness that is college sports. So last week, I started talking NFL draft because the NFL draft is upon us. Just a couple of more weeks. Oh, wait a minute. Not even. It's next week.
You kidding me?
The NFL draft is next week. April 30th. Right? Ryan, you should have looked at this before you start. Yes, April 30th. Next Thursday. That is the first round of the NFL draft. So this week, what are we going to talk about? I guess we could talk NBA playoffs.
You kidding me?
Or we could start previewing the college football season.
You kidding me?
Which is still months and months away. Now, I think we should continue to talk NFL draft. But before I start doing that, I would like to remind you, just like I remind you every single week, please look us up on Facebook or Twitter. At Facebook, type in facebook.com/collegeprimetimeradio, or you can look us up on Twitter at College Primetime Radio, or just College Primetime. Either or. We're the same thing, only we got two different Twitter handles. I'm actually not quite sure why that is, but either way, look us up on rather Facebook or Twitter, and if you would like to follow me personally, because you just think I'm the most intelligent human being in the world, Raffle. Look me up on Twitter at WackyWillis90, that's at WackyWillis90, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRyanWillisShow, Ryan, R-Y-A-N, Willis, W-I-L-L-I-S, show. Oh, man.
What you talking about, Willis?
I gave you such a hard time last week for not knowing how to spell out show.
Idiot.
Oh, should I spell it out today, this week? No. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Look it up in a dictionary. I am tired of this conversation. All righto. NFL draft talk. Let's dive right into this. So last week, we discussed Jameis Winston and all of his troubles. Millions and millions of off-the-field issues. Remember? He stole crab legs from a grocery store. He went into a Burger King, asked for a cup of water. Then he started filling that cup up with soda, even though the employees at Burger King were telling him, hey, stop doing that. He continued to do so. He's been accused of rape. I mean, it's just been one thing after another with this knucklehead kid from Florida State. And I made it very clear. I do not think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers should take Jameis Winston number one overall. I just don't think they should do it. I also talked about Marcus Mariota from Oregon. Quarterback. You know, the Heisman Trophy winner from last year. Jeez. Man, you really don't know anything about sports. Zing! And I talked about Mariota and how I feel that he should be the first quarterback taken in this draft because I think he's got just as much upside as Jameis Winston does, but he's not a headache off the field. He's a good kid. He's well-grounded. I think he's more prepared to step into an NFL locker room and be a leader. Jameis, I think it's going to take some time for this kid to mature. Mariota, he's already mature, from what I've seen anyway. By the way, I noticed I did this last week, and I'm already doing it again this week. Is it Mariota or Mariota? Oh, I really don't know what the right pronunciation is, but I really don't care. I'm sorry if I'm offending Marcus Mariota. I know he's listening to the show. I just absolutely know it. And I know he's getting offended. Marcus, I apologize. But since I have no idea on how to pronounce it the correct way, I'm just going to keep saying rather Mariota or Mariota. It just kind of depends on how I'm feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. But the thing is,
I'm just not sure about
you know,
that
I talked
right
about
now.
The quarterbacks mostly pretty much the entire show last week. I did talk a little bit about the receivers, and I did also talk about Leonard Williams. But that was pretty much it. It was mostly all about the quarterbacks. So here's the thing. There are other players in this draft. Yes, believe it or not, there are other players in this draft not named Winston or Mariota and do not play quarterback. So I wanted to discuss some of the other top players in this draft. Okay? You think that's a good idea? I think it's a great idea. And believe me, I do not usually have great ideas, but I have to say this is a great idea. Because you need to know about some of the other players. Yes, the quarterback, it's the sexy position. It's the one that everybody wants to talk about, and I was right there with you. We already did that. It's time to talk about some of the other players. They need attention. Okay? They are starving for some attention, and I'm going to give it to them. Plus, you need to be more knowledgeable about this draft class, okay? You just have to. So let's start on the defensive side of the ball with the defensive linemen, the big guys. I wouldn't mess with them.
Yeah.
One thing that is pretty apparent about this draft class is that there are not very many true 4-3 defensive ends. Right? I mean, there are quite a few guys like Shane Ray from Missouri and Leonard Williams from USC that played a lot of defensive end in college, but they may not, or that may not be the case once they get to the NFL. A lot of experts, air quotes, say that Shane Ray may be better off as an outside linebacker, and Williams could play some defensive end or defensive tackle, either or. Time will tell on that one. But there doesn't seem to be a lot of true defensive ends. You know, guys that we know for sure are going to come straight out of college and are going to play a defensive end position in a normal 4-3 scheme in the National Football League. But there is one guy that I believe is going to be the sleeper of this NFL draft. He's going to be the sleeper pick, in particular, out of all the defensive linemen. In this case, defensive end. His name is Owangbe Odazua.
Idiot.
Okay, I think I just failed miserably. Owangbe Odazua. Oh my gosh. This has got to be a joke, right? Okay, this is how you pronounce his first name. Owamagabi.
You kidding me? You kidding me?
Okay, here is how it's spelled. Owamagabe. How would you pronounce that? The same way I was pronouncing it? Oh, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. And his last name, you know, let's just forget about it. I'm just going to call him O-O. Since his first name starts with an O and his last name starts with an O, I'm just going to call him O-O or double O. How's that? Double O. From UCLA. This kid is raw. he's had a couple of hip injuries, and he's had surgery on both hips, which is probably why he's going to go in the second or third round, maybe possibly even later than that. But this kid is extremely talented. I feel like he can develop into a Pro Bowl caliber player in the NFL given time. He's got to be able to have the chance and time to develop. I don't know if you can just throw him right out there in his rookie year and expect him to get you 10 sacks. That's probably not going to happen. You got to let this kid develop, learn, bulk up a little bit. But he's got all the God-given talents to make this happen in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So remember this kid, okay? Whenever he gets picked, I don't know what round he's going to get selected, okay? I can't see the future. I really wish I could. But remember, when Commissioner Goodell goes up to the podium on draft day and he announces a kid's name, that's going to make you say, huh? Who? You're going to remember that Wacky Willis told you that this kid was going to get drafted, and you just remember he's going to develop into a star. Okay? Don't you forget it. And also, if you do know how to pronounce this kid's name correctly, please let me know. Please, please. It's killing me that I don't know how to pronounce it. Okay, moving on. A ton of great defensive tackles / nose tackles in this draft, right? Guys that can play in the middle for a 3-4 defense, or even just a traditional defensive tackle in a 4-3 scheme.
Yeah.
Here's some of the guys that really stand out to me that are interior linemen on the defensive side of the ball. You got Malcolm Brown from Texas, Eric Armstead from Oregon, who's like 6'8". This kid is just tall. He's big. Oh my gosh. I think he's going to be a heck of a player. And you got Danny Shelton from Washington. These big boys are going to be able to come in right away and add some serious toughness and obviously some much-needed size for any defensive front. I mean, seriously, these are not guys that you're going to have to wait for like 3 years for them to develop. I mean, they're going to be able to go in there and play right away because they're huge. They're humongous. Okay? You know what they are? They're kids trapped inside a man's body. That's what it is. And yes, I can call them kids because I'm a kid. I'm only 24.
You kidding me?
Should I be saying my age over the air? Probably not. Okay, moving on. Coming up in a few minutes from now, I will be giving you my mock draft. Not my entire mock draft. I don't want to give it all away just yet. But the top 15 picks in the first round of this year's draft, I have a mock draft typed up and ready to go over just with you. So stick around for that. In the meantime, let's talk more about some of the defensive prospects. Switching over now to the linebackers. In particular, the pass rushers, the outside linebackers. Probably the best pure pass rusher in this draft, you may wonder? # ask Wacky Willis. I would have to say it's Randy Gregory from the University of Nebraska. He's 6'5", 235 pounds. This kid is lengthy and just a great pass rusher. 17 and a half sacks in just 2 seasons with the Cornhuskers. Tough and physical enough to play against the run. Really, he's pretty much everything that you look for in an outside linebacker, especially nowadays when it is just essential to rush after and sack the quarterback. But what's the problem? Why are so many of these so-called experts saying that Gregory may not even go in the top 10 or even the top 20, or he might even just fall completely out of the first round? He failed a drug test at the NFL Combine.
Idiot.
And has failed multiple marijuana tests while he was at Nebraska. Oh, I see. Okay. He likes smoking MJ. Okay, alrighty. Well, is this really something that is out of the ordinary nowadays? It doesn't really seem like it. So I don't know how big of a deal that really is. However, the fact that he did fail a drug test at the NFL Combine, we don't know exactly what drug he was tested for. But I don't know. It's got to be a red flag, especially when you know that in the NFL, they are extremely strict about the whole marijuana deal. I mean, look at Josh Gordon, the wide receiver with the Cleveland Browns. I mean, how many times has this guy tested positive for that? And he almost missed the entire 2014 season because of it. And now he's going to be out the entire 2015 year because apparently he drank some alcohol and he wasn't supposed to do that. And since he's already had a bunch of red strikes against him, he's now gone for a year. But marijuana, that seems to be something that Commissioner Roger Goodell is like, no, absolutely not. You are not going to do that. I'm laying the law down. You may not agree with it, but that's how the NFL works. They don't want you smoking that, okay? Don't be smoking that dope, Randy Gregory.
Idiot.
So because of all of these question marks, when it comes to how clean is this kid, especially now, you know, I mean, if he tested positive for drugs during the combine, which was what, in February? It's only been a couple of months since then. Is he sober now? Is he clean? And is he going to be able to stay clean?
I'm just not sure about that right now.
I don't know. Now, other top pass rushers in this draft class. This is the guy that's probably going to go first, in my opinion. Dante Fowler Jr.
You kidding me?
From the University of Florida, the Florida Gators. Now, is he as good as a pass rusher as Randy Gregory is? Kind of debatable, I guess. But I think Fowler Jr. is probably the more complete player. I think he's a little bit better against the run than Gregory is, and he's clean, as far as we know anyway. Wink. Now, here are some of the other top pass rushers in this draft class that could easily go rather in front of Fowler Jr. or right after him. Vic Beasley from Clemson, Alan Dupree from the University of Kentucky, or even Eli Harold from Virginia. I mean, you can make a case for any of these guys to go in the top 10 or even the top 15 of this draft. So a lot of great talented pass rushers here. So if you're one of those teams in the top 10 or even top 15 and you kind of have a hole there, look, this has got to be the time you grab that pass rusher. It's more important now than ever before, in my opinion, in the NFL, to have an elite guy that can go after the quarterback and bring him down to the ground. While he still has the ball in his hand, of course. You know, if the quarterback has already thrown the ball, and then you hit him and bring him down to the ground, okay, I guess that could rattle him, but you see what I'm saying here. All right. Before we get to Ryan Wacky Willis's mock draft, the top 15 picks, let's talk about the running backs. Deep class for the tailbacks. Very deep. In the NFL nowadays, it's really more of a two or even sometimes even a three-back system. Very few running backs today get the majority of the carries. Like, remember the days back when there was LaDainian Tomlinson and Larry Johnson and going way back, you know, Emmitt Smith and going all the way back even to the Jim Brown days here, Gale Sayers, where these guys would just take a pounding and they would get the ball like, you know, 25, 30, 35, 40 times a game. You don't see that anymore.
You kidding
you
me?
You really don't. I mean, DeMarco Murray is probably the closest thing to one of those old-fashioned type of backs. But teams really prefer to have a couple of really good backs now. One reason is you can keep both of them a lot healthier, right? And also, it just gives you an extra weapon on your offense, because normally back in the day, your backup running back would only get a couple carries, if even that, a game, because, well, he was a backup, and yeah, he wasn't that special. No offense. But nowadays, teams want as many talented backs on their team as possible, and this is the right draft class to go out and load up on the running back. Absolutely. Now, who is the best back in this draft class? That is a very good question. Did somebody ask me that question on my Facebook page? Let me see here. Move the mouse over here.
What'd you draw about?
Left click, through the loop-de-loop, Facebook. No. Matter of fact, did I even get a question? Oh, I did get a question for this week, but they didn't ask me about the running back position. Okay, never mind. Never mind. I'm getting way off topic here. I do apologize. The best running back in this class. Todd Gurley. University of Georgia. He's a downhill runner. Puts his head down, and the guy just runs people over. Puts them on their back. And once he gets going in the open field, not only is he hard to catch, but if you do catch him, good luck bringing him down.
I don't want to try to bring him down. You bring him down. No, I don't want to tackle him. You tackle him. That's what the defenders are saying as they're chasing after him.
Rival. A lot of people are comparing him to Marshawn Lynch.
You kidding me?
I think that's a fair comparison. I'm not saying he's going to go into the NFL and automatically become Marshawn Lynch. Probably not. But his running style is very similar to Lynch because, well, Marshawn likes to run people over as well, doesn't he?
He also loves his Skittles. Lol.
So what's the problem, though, with Todd Gurley? There's always got to be a question mark with a top prospect, right? Well, Todd Gurley's big problem is his durability. Last year, he tore his ACL. Oh,
sad face.
And he's had some other durability concerns in years past. It seems like every year he's had to miss some games. Yeah, that's definitely a big concern.
Yeah.
Now, if there's a guy that could possibly get taken before Mr. Gurley, I think it's got to be Melvin Gordon. Such an agile back. He makes something out of nothing. You know, he'll get the ball from the quarterback on the handoff exchange. There's no hole for him. He doesn't just fall down. He doesn't give up. He fights for those extra yards. He can make something out of nothing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what it means. He's got great moves. Breakaway speed. In 2014, he posted the second most single season rushing yards in college football history with 2,587.
You kidding me?
I don't think I've even walked that many yards in my lifetime. Zingers. The only guy that had more career rushing yards in college football history than Melvin Gordon, you may have heard of him, Barry Sanders, number one, with 2,628, and he did that back in 1988. So Melvin Gordon, out of Wisconsin, he could certainly go in front of Gurley, but either way, those are your top two backs in this year's draft. And maybe Gordon goes in front of Gurley because, well, he hasn't really had any durability questions. You know, he's been able to stay healthy. But if you're asking me, I think Gurley is probably a little bit more talented, has a little bit more upside. But again, is he going to be able to take a beating in the NFL for more than just a year or two? Oh, man, I really have no idea. Stay tuned. All right, no more further interruptions. It is now time to get to my mock draft, the top 15 picks. In my opinion, this is how it should go down.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'm just not sure starting about us that off right now.
With the first pick in the 2015 NFL Draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Buccaneers select, drumroll, Marcus Mariota, quarterback, Oregon. Yes, sirree, Barbara. I'm saying it right here, right now. The Buccaneers should take Marcus Mariota with the first pick, not Jameis Winston. Why? I've already mentioned this. Mariota, I feel like he's the safer pick. I think he has just as much upside as Winston, but he doesn't bring all the extra baggage that Mr. Winston brings to a team. He's a quiet kid, quiet leader, kind of leads by example, but over time, he'll become a better leader. He's going to be, I think, a heck of a quarterback. And the Glazier family, the family that owns the Buccaneers, in the last couple of weeks, they have expressed some concern about Jameis Winston and some of his off-the-field, off-the-campus issues, if you will. So once I heard that, I was like, okay, there is a chance that Mariota could go first overall. Now, I still think that the Buccaneers are probably going to take Winston. I just feel like that's the route that they're going to take. But in my opinion, they absolutely should go with Mariota. All right, pick number two, the Tennessee Titans. Assuming that they do not get Phillip Rivers in a trade from San Diego, they do need a quarterback, and they probably would not expect Jameis Winston to fall to them at pick number two. Jameis Winston to the Titans. Oh, my gosh. But I think it makes more sense for the Titans to take a chance on Winston than it is for the Bucks, because the Titans, they've already got a quarterback that they apparently are very high on, and so are a lot of other people around the league. And that is Zach Mettenberger. We talked about Mettenberger last week. He was a sixth-round draft pick out of LSU, started a handful of games for the Titans last year, did an okay job, but a lot of people say that he's got all the tools that you were looking for in a franchise quarterback.
You kidding me?
And who was it? Was it Mike Mayock? I forget who it was exactly. I think it was Mayock that said that Mettenberger, to him, is like a poor man's Tom Brady.
Idiot.
Which I didn't really understand at the time. I didn't really understand that analogy. But apparently it's because Brady was also a sixth-round pick. At least that's what I came up with, right? That makes sense. They were both sixth-round picks, and Brady's won four Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But I don't think Mettenberger is going to win four Super Bowls. Matter of fact, I don't think he's going to win even one, unless he's a backup on a really good team that wins a Super Bowl. The Titans, look, there's not a lot of risk here because they can take Winston, and if Mettenberger ends up becoming the next Tom Brady, great. Now the Titans can trade Winston away and get some draft picks for him. Or they'll let Mettenberger play this coming season. He's a total bust. It doesn't work out. Well, they got Winston. See what I'm saying here? The Buccaneers, they don't really have that luxury because the only quarterback they have on the roster is Mike Glennon. And he's been around for a couple of years already. He's had more than his share of opportunities. He started a lot of games for them, and he hasn't really done anything. You know, they already kind of know what they have in Mike Glennon. He's not a horrible quarterback, but he's not a franchise guy. That's why the Titans really need to hit a home run with this pick, and Mariota is the safer selection. So if Winston falls to the Titans, I just think it would make a lot more sense for them to take him. But it's still risky, right? Moving right along, pick number three, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Oh my gosh, they need a lot of help. They very easily could go wide receiver here and give Blake Bortles an actual legitimate weapon. They did sign Julius Thomas during the offseason, the great tight end from the Broncos, but at the wide receiver position, they are lacking. But their head coach is Gus Bradley. He's a defensive-minded guy. I think the Jaguars go with outside linebacker Dante Fowler Jr. from the University of Florida. We just mentioned him earlier. I think this would make a lot of sense for the Jaguars at pick number three. At pick number four, my favorite team, big time raffle, the Oakland Raiders. They have pick number four. Big surprise. I guess you could just throw a bunch of names in a hat and pick one of those names out, and yeah, that guess would be just as good as anybody else's guess. The Raiders seem to always throw people a curveball on draft day. You never really know what they're thinking or if they're thinking at all. Lol. But Leonard Williams, defensive lineman, USC. I said it last week. He may be not only the best defensive player in this draft, he may be the best player in this draft. If he falls to pick number four, the Raiders got to take him. I mean, I know they need a receiver, okay? And they also need running back help. They need secondary help. But I think taking Leonard Williams makes a lot of sense because they took Khalil Mack last year in the first round, a great and talented pass rusher from the University of Buffalo. Now you plug in Leonard Williams on that defensive line, all of a sudden, the Raiders have a pretty decent-looking defensive front.
You kidding me?
Pick number five. The Washington, am I allowed to say this name over the air? Redskins? Congress, please don't come after me.
What you talking about?
Bravo. I have the Redskins selecting, kind of a surprise here, Shane Ray, defensive end / outside linebacker from Missouri. Ray has the versatility to play outside linebacker, which is obviously what he would play in Washington because they run a 3-4. So he'd be perfect for that. And also, the Redskins lost Brian Arakbo during the offseason. So they need to fill that position. I think Shane Ray, very talented physical guy, makes a lot of sense for them at pick number five. Pick number six, the New York Jets. Oh, man. Well, I'm picking Vic Beasley, outside linebacker Clemson. Look, the Jets already have a really good defense, right? They're really good. That was the one thing, and really the only thing that was going for the Jets last year, is that they had a solid defense. They have absolutely no offense. However, I think that offense is going to improve a bit because they added Brandon Marshall during the offseason. And since Mariota and Winston are off the board, so they can't go quarterback necessarily right here at pick number six, I'm going to have them pick what could be, you know, he could be the best outside linebacker in this draft. He'll definitely be the best available at this point, according to me.
Vic Beasley. Well, I'm just not sure about that.
They got
right
their
now.
Premier edge rusher. They've got it. They're locked and loaded. They're ready to go. Pick number seven. Steal of the draft. Do you hear me? This would be the absolute steal of the 2015 NFL draft. Wide receiver Kevin White from West Virginia.
What you talking about?
Could easily go number three or number four or number five or number six. Heck, he could even go number one in this year's draft. I mean, he's that good. But since the other team's picking before the Bears, you don't necessarily absolutely have to get a receiver. The Bears, they have to draft a receiver. They lost Brandon Marshall. We just talked about it. He went to the Jets. They have Alshon Jeffrey, who's a heck of a player. But they need another receiver. Kevin White, if he falls to them at pick number seven, there is absolutely zero chance they pass on him. Okay? Zero.
You kidding me?
Number eight. The Atlanta Falcons. What's been going on with the Falcons the last couple years? I mean, 3 years ago, this team was one play away from going to the Super Bowl. The last 2 years, They've been horrible. Horrible. Have not come close to making the playoffs. And then they finally fired head coach Mike Smith. Where are the Falcons going? Pick number 8. Look, I'm not quite sure I completely believe that Matt Ryan is a franchise quarterback, especially the way he's played the last couple of years. But he has shown in the past that he can be. And the only way that the Falcons are going to be able to find out if he still is a franchise quarterback is giving him time to throw the ball. Protect him, will ya? This is where I have my first offensive lineman going off the board. Brandon Scherff from Iowa.
You kidding me?
He could play guard or tackle. Probably better suited to play guard, but he could play tackle also. Either or. He's smart, physical, very safe pick. I definitely think he's the best offensive lineman in this draft. I really don't think there's much debating that. But if you want to, go right ahead. Oh, wait, I can't hear you. No debate.
Goodbye.
Pick number 9. The New York Football Giants. Again, they could go in a lot of different directions here. But I'm going to have them take Danny Shelton, defensive tackle from Washington. The G-men have had a horrible defense for several years now. They need to get bigger up the middle. Danny Shelton can deliver for them. Pick number 10, rounding out the top 10. The St. Louis Rams. I mean Rams, excuse me. Pardon me. That was kind of rude of me. The Rams. Again, another steal. Wide receiver, Amari Cooper, Alabama. Head coach, Jeff Fisher. He has a tendency to go offensive line in the first round. I mean, it seems like every year he's got to pick an offensive lineman. But the Rams, they need a playmaking wide receiver in the worst kind of way. They took Tavon Austin a couple of years ago. He hasn't really panned out. He really has not panned out yet. And I don't know if he ever will. Take Amari Cooper. I think he's going to be a stud. Give Nick Foles, their new starting quarterback, an extra weapon. Pick number 11, the Minnesota Vikings. Now, this is an interesting one because we still don't know what's going to happen with Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson has been reinstated by the NFL after he whipped one of his kids with a tree branch. Gosh, I still can't get over that. But apparently Adrian Peterson is not that thrilled about returning to the Vikings because he has said, and I quote, "The Vikings did not stand by me last year." Yeah, actually they kind of did, Adrian. They were trying to reinstate you, but the NFL didn't allow it. And then the Vikings are like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, Adrian, just take the rest of the year off, man. You need to figure out your own personal issues there." I mean, give me a break. I don't know if Adrian Peterson is going to be a Viking or not, but the Vikings are not going to know that by next week when the draft is going on. So, do they take a running back here? Do they go with Todd Gurley? I kind of doubt it. I have them taking Trey Waynes, cornerback from Michigan State. He's a little light at only 186 pounds, but he's highly regarded as the best pure cover man in this draft. And when the Vikings play in a division like the NFC North that has, you know, this guy named Aaron Rodgers who plays quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. Oh, and he has wide receivers, Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson. You know, they're all pros. No big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, and I almost forgot. You got the Detroit Lions who have Matt Stafford at quarterback and probably, not probably, the best wide receiver in the game, Megatron Calvin Johnson.
Yeah,
you need someone to cover. Trey Waynes, he's the best cornerback in this draft. Vikings, make the smart decision here. Pick number 12, the Cleveland Brownies. Yay, the Brownies. Oh my gosh, get pumped. Are you excited? Because it's always a complete disaster when the Browns are on the clock. Zong. Okay, maybe not every year. But what are they going to do for an encore? I mean, they took Johnny Football last year. Johnny Bleepin' Football. Johnny Manziel. I mean, how can they top that? So I paid number 12. This is their first of two first-round picks. The other one is at pick number 19. The Cleveland Browns select Devontae Parker, wide receiver, Louisville. Why? We mentioned this guy earlier, Josh Gordon. Adios, amigo! Yeah, he's not playing in 2015. The Browns, they really do need a quarterback, but they also need a receiver. Devontae Parker, great talent. Got to take him at pick number 12. All right, last three picks here. Pick number 13, the New Orleans Saints. Alvin Bud Dupree, outside linebacker, Kentucky. Very interesting offseason for the Saints, right? They traded away Jimmy Graham, who is, you know, he's just the best tight end in all of football. And they also traded away Kenny Stills, a very talented wide receiver, to the Miami Dolphins. They could look, obviously, at adding some help on offense to try to replace both of those players, but they need to really continue to try and upgrade a very average defense. And I feel like Bud Dupree will definitely upgrade that group. All right, pick number 14, the Miami Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins went out and spent more money this offseason than any other team. And most of that money went to one guy, Ndamukong Suh, the big defensive tackle, formerly of the Detroit Lions. Great player, but holy smokes, you're going to pay a defensive lineman over $100 million? Oh, wowzers. Okay. I guess him alone could help you win a Super Bowl. We shall see about that. So the Dolphins, you know, they're an interesting team because I really feel like they're right on the brink of becoming a playoff-caliber team. Perhaps, and this is a big perhaps, even a Super Bowl-caliber team. However, I can't quite put them in that category because I'm not a big believer in their quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. But since I have heard zero rumors about the Dolphins getting rid of Tannehill and drafting another quarterback, I have to wonder, who are the Dolphins going to pick at pick number 14? Well, luckily for me, or maybe unluckily for me, Ruffle, I have a buddy of mine who is a huge Miami Dolphins fan. He may be their biggest fan on this planet. His name is Jason Biggs. And I asked him, Jason, who will the Dolphins select at pick number 14? And he typed me out a letter for me to read right now. So this is what Jason had to say. Quote, who will the Dolphins select at number 14? Well, assuming that they don't trade the pick, which is likely considering the risk-taking the team has shown they are willing to do, I think they go wide receiver. Cooper and White are locks to be gone when the Fins pick, but Parker may be there. Okay, let me just stop Jason right there. I have Parker going before the Dolphins select at pick number 12 to the Browns. Sorry, Jason. Okay, back to the letter. If he is, that's the pick. If he's not, and Gurley is available, I think that they take a chance on the bruising back. However, I believe Parker and Gurley may be gone as well. That leaves me with two choices, Breshad Perriman, wide receiver, and cornerback Trey Waynes. Yeah, sorry, he's off my board too. I say the Fins go with the receiver to help replace the departures of Brian Hartline, Josh Gibson, and the overpaid and outspoken Mike Wallace. End of quote. All right, let me just go ahead and crumple up this piece of paper and throw it over here. Yeah, good throw, Ryan. Lol. So, clearly Jason feels like the Dolphins could go in several different directions. I understand that. I have the Dolphins going, however, with offensive tackle Eric Flowers from the University of Miami. The U.
Idiot.
They get to keep the local kid right at home. And the Dolphins could use another offensive tackle, in my opinion, to protect Ryan Tannehill. They have Brandon Albert at left tackle, who's a great player. But, you know, he got hurt last year, and I feel like they just need to beef up that offensive line. I was not that impressed with the Dolphins' offensive line. However, when I brought this up to Jason, he was just kind of like, no, they're pretty set at offensive line. So we shall see. He knows his team, obviously, much better than I know his team. But in my opinion, I say they go with Eric Flowers, offensive tackle from Miami. All right. Finally, last but not least, pick number 15, the San Francisco 49ers. I have them selecting Eric Armstead, defensive tackle from Oregon. Should fit perfectly into the Niners' 3-4 defense. And yeah, they need a lot of help on defense, especially that they may be losing Justin Smith, their all-pro defensive end, to retirement. Oh, and they also lost Patrick Willis and blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Jim Harbaugh. Yeah. The 49ers have lost a lot of people. But I think getting Eric Armstead would certainly help them out going in the next year. All right. Woo. Oh, my gosh.
You kidding me?
Wow. Whew. That's it. That's Ryan Willis's top 15 mock draft. Oh, my gosh. I am out of breath. Hang on a second. Oh, no. I'm out of water.
You kidding me?
Oh, man. That is not good. That is not good. All right. So next week, I will be finishing off my mock draft. I will be doing picks 16 through 32. And we shall see what Wacky Willis comes up with. I don't even know. I'm going to have to do some homework here, just like I have to do my homework for the top 15. So I really have no idea how the rest of the first round is going to look. I don't know how any of the draft's going to look. Who knows? I may have just gotten every single one of these top 15 picks incorrect, as far as I know. I mean, it's very well possible, but that's what I think. And we will continue on next week. All right, real quick, Ask Wacky Willis. Hashtag Ask Wacky Willis. This is the time in the program when I read your rather Facebook or Twitter question over the air, and then I answer it for you. So, this week, the question is from Kevin Michelle. I think that's his last name. Yeah, Michelle. Kevin Michelle. And he wants me to not answer a question for him, but he wants me to play a pretty awesome song that came out a few years ago from ESPN. And the song was made by DJ Steve Porter. And the name of the song is the NFL Draft Remix. So basically, it's just a song dedicated to the greatness that is the NFL Draft. So that's how I'm going to send you off tonight, by playing the song for Mr. Kevin Michelle. So I would like to take this opportunity right now to say thank you so much for listening to another edition of the What You Talking About Willis Show. And again, you can listen to all of my shows on Podomatic, on iTunes, or on Facebook. You can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/collegeprimetimeradio, and you can download the shows and listen to them right then and there. Do it. Do it now. And remember, look up College Primetime Radio, because we are number one. All right, thank you so much for tuning in yet again, and I will talk to you next week. Enjoy the rest of your week. Here's the draft song. Yeah, baby.
Back to the 1983 National Football League draft. And with the
first round pick, John Elway, Jim Kelly.
Welcome back to the draft.
And with the
first round
pick,
Dan Marino,
Gruden.
NFL draft.
And with the
first round
pick,
Deion Sanders.
I was kind of scared. I thought Detroit was going to take me. I would ask for so much money that I had to put me on layaway.
Welcome back to the NFL draft.
Good young players.
The draft's all about
year in and year out.
Welcome back to the draft.
Wide receivers, running back,
tackle,
quarterback.
Every year in the draft,
there has been a trade.
Ricky Williams.
John Dolphin. On a shady Saturday.
Welcome back to the draft.
Defensive line.
Wide receiver,
running back,
tackle,
quarterback.
It's all on get into that.
Primetime, looks like you're wearing your signing.
bonus.
One more sale.
Welcome back to the NFL Draft. And with the first round pick, Eric Dickerson.
Reggie Bush, welcome back to the draft.
And with the first round pick, Keyshawn Johnson.
Well, be ready.
And with the first round pick,
Randy Moss.
I'm a big man. I'm a Viking man.
And with the first round pick,
who did they take, Mel?
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper?
Forget it.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper?
Forget it. Who did they take, Mel?
My neighbor has more credentials than Mel Kiper, and my neighbor's a postman.
Play this back. Play
my ratings
back. Peace if you want.
Well, we've looked at film, and then we've looked at film, and then we've looked at film.
We do have a lot of film.
We've looked at film, and then we've looked at film, and then we've looked at film.
As you can see, and I've looked at a lot of film.
Buy me a bus.
Jamarcus Russell.
Buy me a bus.
Tim Couch.
Buy me a bus.
Tony Mandarich.
Bus. Achilles Smith.
Press.
Whack. Peyton Manning.
He'll develop into the next
all-pro player. He's physically tough, mentally tough, the kind of kid that you can trust.
The Colts put their faith in me.
San Diego Chargers
put their faith in me.
Ryan Leaf.
Hello?
It's just the physical emotion of discomfort for the guy.
This is human drama now.
Welcome back to the NFL Draft.
And with the first round pick,
Mark Sanchez.
Mario Williams, NFL Draft.
And with the first round pick,
Atlanta has selected Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
So Atlanta gets a favor by selecting Brett Favre.
Welcome back to the draft.
Good young players with the draft all about.
Here in and here out.
Welcome back to the draft.
Wide receivers, running back.
Tackle.
Quarterback.
Prime time.
Every year in the draft.
Defensive line.
Wide receiver,
running back.
Tackle.
Quarterback.
It's all I'll get into that.
Back to the NFL Draft. And with the first round pick,
Sam Bradford.
Eli Manning.
Welcome back to the draft.
And with the first round pick,
Donovan McNabb.
Welcome back to the draft.
And with the first round pick,
Michael Vick.
Phillip Rivers.
Welcome back to the draft.
And with the first round pick,
Aaron Rodgers.
Welcome back to the NFL Draft.
I'd never say anything like this.